Now, as we get started with our message today, I wanted to highlight something that happened last Sunday that you probably all heard about. While we were worshiping God here, there was a church in San Antonio that suffered a horrible tragedy as a gunman broke into the church and shot and killed many people in that church. And we want to join in prayer for those who've been affected. This church has a long road of recovery ahead of them. We want to pray for the community as they deal with this, and for our nation as a whole as we deal with these kinds of things. And I know this kind of thing can raise concerns for us, and I wanted to mention this at the beginning of the message just to let you know that I've been in some conversation with people about how do we as a church be prepared for things like this. There's somebody in the community who's going to be gathering together pastors just talk about how do we handle stuff like that. We want to be welcoming, right? We want to welcome and welcome anyone who comes. We also want to be prepared for things that could happen. And we're taking this before God, asking for his protection and wisdom on how do we deal with this kind of thing in the world that we live in. I also mentioned this today at the beginning of our message because I think it's a good exploration or good intro into our continued exploration of the armor of God that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6. And how it relates to our ability to really live out the gospel. Because no matter how crazy or how dangerous this world becomes, we can stand confidently on these things that we've been talking about. We can stand confidently on truth. Truth that horrors and tragedies in this world like this are the result and consequence of sin. But even greater than that is a truth that there is a God and he is good and he cares deeply about us. He cares about his people. And when something like this happens, God pours out his love on those who are affected, and he will bless them. And we want to call out to him, asking for his extra protection on them. But we stand on the truth that God is good. We stand on the fact that because of him, we have a righteousness from Jesus Christ that we can put on like a breastplate. We are right with God because of what Jesus has done for us, despite that sin that we have. And God does not stop every evil action in this world, because it would eliminate our choice to choose him and love him and have a meaningful relationship with him. But despite the fact that he gives us that choice, he does amazing and loving work in our lives, and he gives us a righteousness that goes beyond this world. We further stand on the readiness that our faith produces as we face the trials and struggles of this world and grow stronger as we turn to him, and we hold up that faith as a shield in circumstances that scream at us to give up and deny God because our faith is grounded in someone that is real and sure. And we also stand on this next piece of the armor that we're going to be talking about today. So let's open up to Ephesians 6 and read this section again, continuing on through verse 17. So we're going to begin reading again in Ephesians 6:13 as we have for the past few weeks. And that begins, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And so today we're going to focus on that helmet of salvation. We understand that God looks beyond our temporary state in this world. He's not just out to make us happy in every moment, right? God looks at something far more important than just our bliss. He gives us salvation. He gave us life through his son for something much more significant and permanent than what we experience every day. Paul calls us to take up our salvation in Jesus Christ as a helmet. Now, a helmet covers our head. It protects our mind and our head. And so the question I ask as I look at this is, how is salvation like a helmet? How do we cover ourselves with salvation like a helmet? In this, I see that salvation through Jesus Christ changes our minds. It changes the way we think and the way that we view our world. Salvation covers our head by giving us a new outlook on the world. It affects our thoughts. And in the battle to live for the spirit rather than flesh, we look to our salvation in Jesus. We look at the salvation that he has won for us to guard and protect those thoughts that we have. The thoughts that we have about who God is, who we are in Christ, the promise of what Jesus has done for us, everything that God says about us, our salvation in Christ is what protects and guides our thoughts about them. And it's important for us to know that salvation is not just something for the future. You know, I know that when I was growing up, oftentimes when I heard about salvation in Christ and giving my life to Christ, it was about when I die, right? I've been forgiven for my sins, and then I get to go to heaven. But salvation, biblical salvation, what God talks about is far more encompassing. It starts now. It begins in this life. It's too simple to think of it as just about forgiveness and going to heaven. It's about a relationship with our Heavenly Father here and now. It is about who we are as we continue to live in this fallen and broken and sinful world. Really knowing and taking on this salvation that we've been given involves knowing, first of all, who we once were and what God has done for us since then and since we put our faith into Jesus. And so I want to take a look at Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, where Paul describes this transition that happens before we were saved and then after we were saved. And there's a few highlights in that I want to point out. I'm trying to identify what this salvation really is. So Ephesians 2 begins, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in all those who are disobedient." And I want to stop there just to highlight again what he said. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's who we are without Christ. We are spiritually just dead because of the sin that we live in, following the ruler of the air, who is Satan. All of us now, verse 3 now, "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature's objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So this is one aspect of salvation to understand. That where we were once spiritually dead, we are now alive through Christ. We've talked about this before. You are a new creation in Christ, a whole new being. You are alive because of him. Alive for eternity. And you are God's masterpiece, created for a purpose, created in Christ for a purpose in this world. God has recreated you through your salvation in Christ to do good works in this world, which he has prepared for you. And so part of our salvation is understanding that this new person that we are has been created to do work for God, to do good things for him. Now let's continue reading verse 11. "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called the uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done by hand, or that done in the body by hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants and the promise without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." It's another piece of salvation. You have been brought near to God. You who were once far off. He's talking specifically about the Gentiles, those who were not God's chosen people, who were excluded from God's promises, have now been brought near and are just as valuable to God and just as close to God as the Israelites were. But we have a new relationship with our Lord. We are close to him. We are included in his promises. And we have a new outlook in life because of his closeness to him. God has, and when we think about this world that we live in with all its brokenness and sin, God has not necessarily taken us out of it, but he has kind of pulled us out for a moment and given us a new perspective on it. He's helped us to see the world in a different way, made us into a new person, and then sets us back in there to do new things with a new outlook. This is that helmet of salvation at work in us. We don't see the world in the way we used to. We see ourselves as foreigners and aliens in this fallen world, here to do God's work. Verse 14 continues on, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." And so the other piece of salvation is coming together with other followers of Christ. He makes us into one body. We have direct access to the Lord together, who is joining us together into one temple, one group of people, one body, who is glorifying the Lord in this world and in the world to come. So salvation encompasses so much of our lives. This is the salvation you have been offered through Christ, that you can be made new, that your old self could be put off, that you could have God near you, and that you can be brought near to others who follow him and make a huge difference for the Christ in this world. And God calls us to take up that salvation as a helmet, to let it shape our thoughts, to shape our actions and the way that we view this world. We are now able to just step aside from this world and all of its problems and see it from a godly perspective, and let that godly perspective transform the way that we act. The salvation that God gives us, they're having such a great time down there. I can't help but smile. But the salvation that God gives us frees us to let go of the former self that we were and become an amazing piece of God's workmanship. God always intended something great for us, but we had to turn to him and accept Jesus' sacrifice to really embrace it and become who he wants us to be. But we have to hang on to it. We have to trust it. We have to allow God to do his work in us, to recognize that we are a new creation in him. And so with the thought of our salvation making us into a new creation, that we are masterpieces that God has created us for, I have a video I want to show you. So Ryan, go ahead and start that video, and then we'll talk about it a little bit after.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be his masterpiece. I want to be everything he created me to be. And so I go to him in prayer and I say, "Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of your son. Make me your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen."
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
Well, gave it away.
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running. I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe four to five, maybe eight lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
But the platypus?
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel,
no,
talk,
no,
chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. Mm. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. Compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust? Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust?
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know? I'll stay right here, and then, you
That's
know...
That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things or life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
no,
chisel.
No, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh. Trust me, this hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years. These empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them, and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character when you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down. down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror. And I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away. Just be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach your back pocket.
What?
Reach your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach your back pocket.
God.
Yes?
I just went, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God. Shh.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at that as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's.
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
I think that video is a great image of what it means to put on salvation like a helmet. It recognizes that the salvation that we have been given It's about giving our lives to God, recognizing that He made us for so much more. And it begins the moment we put our faith in Christ. It begins and it continues to work in us as we offer ourselves to God over and over, allowing Him to do the work in us. We put that helmet on when we say, God, I want to be transformed. I want to think the way You think. And I want to act the way that You want me to act. And we know that we need Him to do it. We allow Him to transform our thoughts. As Paul wrote in Romans 12, 1 through 2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Let's put on that salvation and allow God to transform us, to protect us and cover us as He continues to work in our lives. Let's give Him thanks for this salvation that we have and offer ourselves to Him as we close in prayer and continue to praise Him with this final song. Heavenly Father, what an amazing gift that You have given us through Your Son. We already know when we put our faith in Him that we're not the same as we used to be. We recognize that there's so much more, Lord. There's so much more that You have for us. We are so much more than we realize when You look at us, Lord. Help us to grasp that truth that You have created us to be Your masterpiece in this world. Make us willing, Lord, to be transformed by You. Give us strength and give us courage, Lord. And let us do great work in this world through You, Lord, as we submit to Your guidance and the salvation that You have given us. May our goal in life be to face You one day and hear You say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.